When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was declaring the awful price of sin paid in full for all time for all who believe. Those who run life's race dogged by guilt can know forgiveness and pardon because Jesus made what is truly the supreme sacrifice. Nothing we could ever do can add anything to the value of the payment he has made. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series is Highlights from Hebrews, and today we turn again to Hebrews chapter 10. In this, the fourth message in his series, Dr. Lutzer is explaining why the sacrifice of Christ is totally sufficient to redeem lost mankind.
Jesus Christ, the Bible says that when he finished it, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. I don't want to give the impression that he's not doing anything in heaven today. He's got a full 24-hour agenda of representing us to the Father, of interceding for us. He's ruling the world, as a matter of fact, through his agents, some of whom are blowing it royally, but nevertheless, he is ruling the world. But so far as his sacrifice is concerned, he never, ever has to go through that again. He never has to add to it. And the fact that he is seated, the author of Hebrews wants us to understand that his work is done. It is finished. There's a priest who actually did the job. He did the job. That's the second contrast between those priests who stood and the high priest in heaven who sits, because it's finished. Third contrast. So the contrast between partial removal of sin, and there was a removal of sin. God did it on credit. He foresaw the coming of Jesus Christ and said, "I will temporarily set this sin aside so that we can have fellowship, because it's going to be paid for later." But the Old Testament worshiper always knew that it was partial. He always knew that somehow there was this low-level sense of guilt that it was never finished, because it was never finally and totally taken away. And so what you have is the contrast here in the passage between partial removal and actually being perfected. Notice it says in verse 14, "For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified." He has perfected them. Old Testament, you weren't perfect and you knew it, and God seemed to keep reminding you of the fact that you weren't. New Testament, Jesus Christ takes those who are his and he gives them his perfections. Are we perfect in experience? Oh, God knows how far short we fall. We might even be surprised if we had a time here today when we could look into people's hearts and know even what they did this past week that was sinful and destructive and stained their consciences. We're not perfect. But legally, in God's sight, he has declared us to be as perfect as Christ. He is the one who has spoken the word of perfection. 24 hours a day, God demands perfection from me if I'm going to be his child in fellowship with him. 24 hours a day, Jesus Christ supplies what God demands. 24 hours a day. And then there are days when I don't feel very spiritual. Some of you maybe struggle with migraine headaches like my wife does, or you're going through some time of illness, or everything goes wrong. You know, all those signs that talk about how wrong a day can go. And some days really do that pretty well. And so you don't feel spiritual. But you're a born-again believer, but you're not filled with the Spirit. At that very moment, Jesus Christ is your perfection in heaven. And the righteousness which he has is the righteousness which God has, and it is being continually credited to your account. And God says, "Draw near, because your sin..." Legally, the barrier has been removed. The way has been made open. Come close. come close. And that's the third contrast. Partial taking away sin versus perfection, being made perfect. There's a fourth contrast in the passage, and that is the temporal being, offering those sacrifices and temporarily receiving some kind of alleviation from your sin versus forever. Now let's look at the text. Verse 12, but he having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time. I like the King James here, forever. He sat down at the right hand of God, because forever is really the meaning and the thought. Verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. The word sanctified, hagios, those who have been made holy in him. He has perfected them for all time. Does your heart warm up to this truth, and do you ever rejoice in it? This is overwhelming, because just think about this for a moment. If when I accepted Jesus Christ at the age of 14, as I did, at least I came to assurance at that time, God took care of only the sins that I had committed up until that time, I'd never be sure about tomorrow. I'd never be sure about next week or next year or the next decade, because God knows that I will be committing other sins. Where am I with my relationship with God? Always off base, always wondering where I stand. No firm foundation. Why? Because my sin would only be taken care of in the past, and the future is scary indeed, because I might mess up. And sometimes I do. Now I want you to notice what the text says. He has perfected them for all time, forever, forever. I want you to know today that if you are a born-again believer, not just somebody who has signed a card or prayed a prayer, because there are plenty of people who do that who are not born of the Spirit, but I mean if you have received Christ, you're indwelt with the Spirit, you're regenerated by His Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ, because your confidence is in Him, I want you to know that in God's economy, you are as sure of heaven as if you had already arrived and said, here I am, here I am. What are the chances of somebody who is born again of the Spirit, belonging to God, what are the chances that they will not show up in heaven? Answer, zero. Because He has perfected for all time, throughout all the ages of eternity, He has perfected them who have been sanctified by God. What an act of grace and strength and mercy. You say, well, people are going to misuse that. Well, that's a possibility. But could I ask you something? Would you be here next Sunday? Would you be here next Sunday and maybe even bring somebody? Because we're going to go into, look at the seriousness of sin in the life of a Christian. What I'm saying is not contrary to the fact that the author of the book of Hebrews has a tremendous warning with people who play with their salvation. But for those who believe, they are perfected forever. Perfected forever. You know what that means? You can have a good day tomorrow, even if everything else falls apart. That's what it means. Because in Christ, God says, I receive you as I do Him, even on a bad Monday. Now, what shall we do with all this? You'll notice that the author of the book of Hebrews helps us. Verse 19, since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Doesn't he give you confidence? You're not going to be cast aside. He's not going to say, well, enough of that. No. Confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new, that is in Greek, a freshly slaughtered way. The vivid imagery is that of the blood of Christ, which He inaugurated for us through the veil that is His flesh. Have you ever pondered that phrase and wondered why the author of the book of Hebrews says that the veil is His flesh? Think of it this way. Did you know that the flesh of Jesus Christ was an obstacle for us to get to God, just like the veil was? Because if the flesh of Jesus Christ had not been torn like the veil was torn, we could never get to God. An uncrucified Savior would not be a Savior at all. And so Christ's flesh had to be lacerated. The blood had to flow. And when that happened, the veil of the temple was torn in two because Christ's flesh had to be pierced. That's why he makes this interesting analogy, that Christ's flesh is also a veil. Now notice it says, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, and now he has three lettuces, those three heads of lettuce. Verse 22, let us draw near. 23, let us hold fast. Let us consider. Verse 22, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Some of you, bless you, you are living with things in your life that are so shameful that you still fear today that the truth might be dragged out. And it could be, though Jesus will walk with you through that experience. But here's what I want you to know, is that your conscience and your shame, the shame of those events, can be so put away through the cleansing now that is available to us who have been legally made perfect, so be put away that we can approach God with a sincere heart and without that nagging conscience that keeps telling us, stay away, stay away, stay away, because he's mad at you anyway. No, we can approach God, we can, with a conscience that has been scrubbed clean, figuratively speaking. Well, my friend, there's no other answer to your conscience and to your sin. When a brilliant university student was asked why she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, why didn't she become an adherent to other religions? Because the options out there are many. She said something that was very wise. She said, no other religion has an answer to my sin. And that's true. Other religions tell us to wish our sins away, to ignore them, to somehow cope with guilt and make it turn out to be something that you can unlearn. Well, you can't. We're created in the image of God and we know that we are guilty, but there is an answer. And that answer is found in Jesus Christ. The cleansing of the conscience, the cleansing of the mind so that the nagging conscience and accusation stop. That can be done by Christ.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of It Is Finished, another message in his series, Highlights from Hebrews. Tomorrow, more insights on the impact of Christ's fully completed work. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We believe our series from Hebrews will help you draw near to God in fully assured faith. Highlights from Hebrews can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Finally, you can write to Running to Win, Box 11-174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.